glad y'all are here. And I didn't get a chance to make an announcement that I don't know if anybody realized that May is next week, but we're not going to have our ladies meeting this month or next month, which is May. So we're still in April. So if you were planning on coming Tuesday night, we won't be here, so don't come, okay? Hopefully we can get back on track in June. But life is crazy, so we're not having it Tuesday. I'm glad that you all are here, and I just enjoyed the presence of the Lord this morning. He's so good, and I'm glad my dad could be here to hear me. Yeah, he does. He needs to preach too. We're going to get him saved while he's sick. All right. We're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's 30 verses, so it's a little bit long. But then we're going to go back through and just look at several of the verses in that chapter. It's kind of different for me, but this is just the way that I've had something on my heart for weeks, and then this was just dropped in my spirit when I was listening to the radio, and so I'm going this direction. So I just trust that I know this is for me, so I hope I'm assured that it's for someone besides myself. So we'll just begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession that you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, the son of Methaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, 'Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed, because tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.' And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Can we just praise the Lord? Because he has set ambushes. I can't wait to share this with you this morning. Who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berukah, for there they had blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. That also means the Valley of Blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was in all the kingdom of those countries. And when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. I said we were singing it all. We were reading it all, but we were just going through verse 30. And so, just hold on. I don't know if y'all can hear those little birds twerping out there. I thought it was somebody over here reading out loud with me, like, psh, 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 reading. And I'm like, somebody's driving me crazy that I realized it was the birds. Somebody was really reading out loud over there. So what I want to do today is, I just want to, when I read this, certain verses stood out to me. And so we're just going to go back. There's several verses that I just want to talk about them individually. And the first two are verse 3 and 4, and I'll read them again as we go along. And it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So we see that Judah is faced with disaster. They're not facing one, but they're facing three enemies. And it's enemy armies. So there's multitudes that are coming against Judah. It's multiple groups of people, and they're coming to attack, and their leader, Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord. He realized that there was a multitude against him, more than they could withstand, and he didn't know what to do, and so he sought the Lord. He asked help of the Lord, and one version says that he set his face to the Lord, which means he was determined. He set his face towards God. He was determined to seek the Lord. He was committed to seeking the Lord on the behalf of Judah because of the great multitude that was coming against him. And not only did he set his face towards the Lord, but he called for a fast. And not just of himself or not just the leaders, but for all the people. And some versions say, or some scripture, no, some commentary says that the things that go on in this chapter, it was from the adults all the way down to the children, that he called a fast of everyone, even their children. Now, I don't know what their very small ones gave up, but he called for everyone to fast and to seek the Lord. they set aside this time to consider and repent of their sin, first of all. They were facing an enemy, and so the first thing they did is they considered themselves, and they considered what they were harboring, what they were concealing inside their hearts. What was it there that they needed to repent of so that God could come on the scene and help them? And then their fast also reminded them that they were weak and dependent on God. When you have to fast, when you set aside food, you realize that you are weak and that you are dependent on God, because you can't do that by yourself, on your own strength, on your own will. So he called for the people to turn their eyes to the Lord and to repent, to consider their own sin and repent of it, and then to fast, to recognize that they were nothing. They were too weak to fight three armies. They weren't strong enough to defeat and defend against three countries of warriors. But they were weak and dependent on the Lord. And, I'm sorry, this shining up here is weird. They cleaned yesterday, and I feel like I shouldn't touch nothing. I'm going to be a greased monkey after a while. We are faced with battles, and sometimes it might seem like we can't handle it. We may look out, and it may feel like we're facing three enemy armies all at one time, and that's oftentimes how it feels. And it can be something so small, but when you're faced with it, it can feel like three enemy armies, full-fledged, all their weapons drawn. That's what it can feel like sometimes. And we may try to handle it on our own. We may try to defend against it the best we know how. But we have to be like Jehoshaphat. We have to be determined and set our face on what? On him. We have to be like Jehoshaphat and say, I am setting my face to the Lord, because that's where my help comes from. And we need to be willing to fast. You know, if we can't just wait till the pastor calls the January fast and say, I'm gonna push through and fight the best I can till we get to January, and then he's gonna tell us we have to fast. Sometimes we have to make that hard decision for ourselves. We have to be willing to do the hard things. We want God to move for us. We want him to fight our battles, but we're not willing to do the hard stuff. We're not willing to push our plate aside. We're not willing to say, I'm not gonna eat this meal or three or ten. We won't do it because it's too hard. We just want God to do it for us, and he can and he will. But what do we see here? Jehoshaphat called a fast. He said, we're going to do the hard thing, and not just the leaders, all the way down to our babies. We're going to tell the Lord we're serious, and we're going to do something hard, because we can't do this hard thing. I might not be able to fight my enemy, but I can fast. I can seek the Lord my God. I can't fight it. I can't beat it. I can't defeat it. But by golly, I can fast, and I can set my face to my God. I can be determined I can be resolute and determined in serving him and setting my face towards heaven. Where does our help come from? I can do that. I can look up to him. I can't fight this out here. I can't fight three enemy armies. You think about it. Here's one, two, three. I can't fight all of you, but I can set aside my plate and I can look up. I can do that. But we have to acknowledge him. We have to acknowledge the Lord. If you're just plowing into it and you're just doing it on your own and you never look up, you never do anything, he can't help you. He can't help you if you're just plowing into it and saying, I can do it on my own. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to do it. We have to acknowledge him and get out of his way. We have to step aside and get out of his way. We have to let our pride, ourselves, get out of the way. And our first business when we're facing our enemy is to seek the Lord. That's our first business, is to seek him. We seek others' help. We seek whatever. We seek all kinds of things when we're facing a battle. But our first business should be to seek the Lord. That's really our only business. That's really the only thing you need to do when you're fighting a battle. It's not about who can help you and what can I do for you and what can they do for me, what can the church do for me. It's what can God do for me. That's where I should seek, is him, and not people, not things, not money. Those things aren't going to fight your battles. You may think that money is going to fight your battle. You may think you need a little more cash to fight this battle. It's going to help me do this. It's going to help me buy that. It's going to help me go there. But that doesn't fight your battle. Only God can fight your battle. But that's the first and only place we should look when we are faced with our enemy. Verse 6, let's look at that one. And Jehoshaphat said, O God, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Jehoshaphat acknowledged God's power, not just over those enemies, but over the entire earth. The entire world was under his power and his authority. If the whole world is over his authority, is not our three little armies that we're fighting under his authority, is not your small little battle under his authority, if he can command the winds to stop and to start, if he can make the oceans come so far, can he not fight your battle? Can he not defeat your enemy? He's the God of everything, the creator of everything. We have to see him for who he is. He's not just, I don't know, he's not just some small thing. He's much greater than we sometimes recognize. He's much bigger than we sometimes give him credit for being. How many times have we made him seem like he's about this big? We do. I mean, that's embarrassing, really, if you think about it, that we would delegate him to being about this big. That's how we treat him sometimes. You're about this big, God. That's not quite big enough for this big old mountain I'm facing. But he created the mountain. He created the universe. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 7, Jehoshaphat recalled what God had done for them in the past. We all have a past. We can look back and recall what God did for us yesterday, last week, last year, 10 years ago. He did something for you, and we can look back and recall that. Why do we have that? So that we can remember what the Lord did, so we can remember the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, we lived through it, and we will live through this too. We have to recall what he did for us. We have to remind ourselves that we serve the God of the universe, the true and living God. When we acknowledge his power, we build up our faith. When we recite to ourselves what he's done for us in the past, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But I think if we recount to ourselves what he's done for us and we speak it again out loud, well, do you remember, and you could say this to somebody else, you might just be talking in conversation with your friend, your parent, your spouse. Do you remember when God did this? And you're like, he did. So look at this battle. It's nothing. Because look where he brought us from. Look what he did yesterday. Look what he did back then. And it encourages us. Our faith is built when we recall what God's done for us. When we remember who we're serving. When we remember how powerful, how mighty he is. That he is the God of everything. He's the God of everything. The small and the big. And there's nothing too hard for him. If he can create the world, then our little pitiful battles aren't too bad, are they? If he can create our bodies the way they are, to function the way they do, and the amazing things they do, he can take care of our little problems. So we have to remind ourselves who we're serving. Remember who it is that you serve. Verse 12 says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They said, we have no power against the enemy. There are too many for us. The armies are too large. There's too many to come against us at one time. And we just really don't know what to do. They were being honest with God. Here's these armies. There's three of them. And we don't know what to do. We have warriors, we have weapons, but we're not sure how to fight this battle because it's bigger than what we are. But what did they say? Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do with these armies, but we do know what to do. We know to turn our eyes to you. That's all we know to do right now because we can't fight them. The people of Judah felt powerless to fight their armies, these armies that were coming against them. They felt powerless. And I'm sure they were a large army too, but they still felt powerless. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have the manpower to fight. They were outnumbered, so they did all they knew to do, and that was to turn their eyes upon the Lord. Sometimes we feel that way too, like we don't have the knowledge. We don't know what to do. And maybe sometimes, just like them, they had an army. They had an army that was ready to fight when they needed to. But in this situation, although they had an army, they didn't know what to do. And sometimes we have the ability, we have the knowledge, but we still just don't know what to do. Have you ever felt like that? Like, you have this battle in front of you. You have your enemy and he's facing you, but you just don't know what to do anymore. Sometimes we get to that point like, Lord, I know I have the resources. I know that you've equipped me, but I don't know what to do this time. I'm at the point that I don't know anymore. I've tried and I just don't know what to do. But we too have to turn our eyes to him like Judah did and say, God, it's up to you now, because I'm lost, but I turn my eyes on you. Because sometimes we too feel powerless and helpless. We feel just like they did, like there's more than we could handle. There's more enemy than we can face. Do you ever feel outnumbered or overpowered or overwhelmed? That's daily for me right now. I mean, it's literally, that's not even a joke. It's daily right now. But we have to be like them and turn our eyes upon the Lord. We have to look to him for our advice and our direction. We have to seek him for direction. Ask him which way to go. Ask him what the decisions are you have to make. Ask him for advice. Ask him for godly counsel. He'll counsel you. He'll speak to you. He may do it through his word. He may do it through his still small voice. He guided me for this through a song on the radio. So he can guide you and give you direction if you'll just listen. But we gotta turn off everything else in our head and listen to him. Sometimes it's hard to shut off all the other stuff and just listen for his voice. But if you will, he'll give you advice and direction. We gotta turn our eyes on him for help and protection. See, sometimes the enemy keeps coming, and they were here. They were still progressing towards Judah. But God can be our help, and he can be our protector. He can protect our minds. He can protect our spirits. He can protect and help us. We have to lift up our eyes to him in faith, in hope, and expectation. We have to believe. We can't just lift up our eyes and be like, yeah, I think you might. I'm pretty sure you could. No, we have to lift our eyes up in hope and expectation, believing. If you lift your eyes and you don't believe it, then just don't even try. You got to have faith in him. You got to believe. You got to expect that your answer is on the way, that he's going to fight this battle because he says he will. But you have to believe it and expect it. He's not going to push through. People always say he's a gentleman. He's not going to just force his way into your battle and fight it for you. I think we got to invite him. We got to allow him. We have to welcome him into our fight. Verse 13 says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And I just imagine this as waiting. They just stood. They stood before him waiting for his answer and for his help. I mean, I can just see them. They're like, they've turned their eyes to him. They've acknowledged his power. They've acknowledged that he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. They've sought him. They've welcomed him into their battle. And now they're just standing there. They're just standing. Maybe they're waiting on him. Maybe they're thinking. Maybe they're recalling their past and what he's done for them. Maybe they're encouraging themselves in that way. But for whatever reason, it's important, or it wouldn't be in here, but they just stood. And there again, it says, with their little ones, their wives, their children, all of them that was called to fast, all of them that was part of the battle, because we have to remember that when we're battling as adults, especially those that have kids still in our homes, or even sometimes when your kids are out of your homes, they're still part of our battle. They may not know what's going on. They may not know what you're talking about behind closed doors, but the battle is, they're still part of that battle because it affects them. It affects their parents. It affects their family. They're still part of it. And no, I'm not saying we got to share everything with our kids and pour out all of our issues to our children because they can't handle that. But we have to let them in a little bit, because they got to see what God's doing in your life. They got to see His power. They got to know that mom and dad's facing something really hard. But what are they doing? They're looking up. What are they doing? They're pushing away the plate. What are they doing? They're recalling the goodness of the Lord. They're acknowledging His power and His glory. They're acknowledging that He is the God of the universe and that He's their Lord. And we got to tell our kids that. We got to show them that, you know what? This is hard right now, you guys. It's hard. But our family trusts in the Lord. Our family believes in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And He's the one we trust. And then let them watch you walk through it. And then on the other side, we're going to talk about what they do at the end. But you got to let them see you, or they're never going to learn. Maybe we are hard. Maybe some of you, it's hard for you because you never saw that with your parents. Well, be different. Be different for your grandkids and your children. Let them see you fight the battle with the Lord's help. Let them watch what you do. Teach them. Let it be a learning time for them. So even their little ones, they just stood. They were all threatened. They all needed His help. See, the threat wasn't against the adults or just the men of war. The threat was against the entire nation of Judah. It was all of them. They weren't coming after a few. They were coming after all of them. And our enemy is not just coming after mom and dad. They're not just coming after the adults. They're coming after all of us. If they can get through you, they can get to your grandkids and your kids and your nieces and your nephews. They can get to more if they can get... If He can get through you, He can get to a lot more. So we can't let Him get through us. So they stood. They made their case to the Lord, and then they just stood. See, they made their case to Him, right? They've laid it all out before the Lord, and then they just stood. What are you going to do? Lord, what are you going to do? Here's our plea, and we've acknowledged you. You're our help. So what are you going to do? We're going to stand here and we're going to wait upon you. How long did they wait? I don't know. I didn't find anything that told me how long they waited. But we may have to wait on the Lord. And we don't know how long we may have to wait on Him. It might not be very long, but it could be a while. But we have to wait on Him. Because we're not going to do any good pushing through on our own. We're not going to win the battle if we ask Him to help and then just... can't stand there and wait long enough. We have to be willing to stand and just wait on Him. We have to stand with our eyes on Him and wait to hear from Him. We have to wait for direction from Him. We have to wait for help from Him. And it's hard to wait. We get tired of waiting. We get weary in waiting, but we have to wait on Him. Because if we don't, then we can mess up His whole plan. We can make it so difficult on ourselves, and we often do, because we just can't be still and stand before Him and wait. But what better place to stand than before the Lord and His presence, waiting on Him? There's no better place to be than waiting on Him. So in our seeking, sometimes we can get tired, but we have to continue to stand before Him. In verse 15, and He said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat." Now, this was a prophet of the Lord, okay? The Lord spoke through Jehaziel, and He said, "Listen, all you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So as the enemy bore down, God said, the battle isn't yours, it's mine. How good did that must feel to that army, especially the army, okay? Because the wives and the children and all of them, they were behind. They weren't up in the front and the heat of what could be the battle. And so how good did it feel to those front men, to those bearing arms, those warriors that they had that were at the front to say, the battle's not yours, it's mine. That had to be music to their ears. And that's how should be for us. It should be music to our ears when God says, you know what? The battle's not yours. It's mine. We should rejoice. That should give us a little pep in our step when we realize that it's not our battles. It's God's battle. He told them not to be discouraged because of the multitude. Don't be discouraged because of what you see. Don't be discouraged because you see three enemy armies. Don't be discouraged by that. because the battle belonged to God. And I thought about David and him fighting Goliath, and it had to be the same kind of, I don't know, pressure. I don't know what other word. You know, he saw Goliath, and that had to cause fear. It was the same kind of, you know, I can't overpower this. I'm so much smaller than this. It's so much bigger than me. But he also knew the battle was God's. It wasn't his. It was God's. And it's on the battlefield that God's presence is most clearly realized. It's in the battle when we most clearly sense and realize that God is there. You know, sometimes when things are great and going good, we don't realize how much he's there. But in our battle, when it's hot and heavy, that's when we can really sense that he's there. He's with us. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forgotten about us. He is there. And so let that be a time when you realize his presence more than any other time, is when it's hard and when it's hot and heavy and the battle is bearing on you. Realize, acknowledge his presence in that. We have to acknowledge it because we get caught up in it and we forget that he's there. We don't always feel him there. And that's when it's hardest to realize he's there and to remind ourselves that he's there, but he is, even when you can't feel him, even when you don't see him anywhere near your battle, he is still there. So if your enemy's bearing down today, go out against him. Go out against him because the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Don't be scared. Don't be dismayed by the battle because it's not yours. God is telling us today, it's not your battle. It's mine. Quit trying to fight it. Quit trying to do it on your own, but trust in me. Let me fight for you. Let me work for you. But we have to, because we have to realize our limitations. We have to realize we can't do it by ourselves. We're limited. We have limited knowledge for one thing. We don't even know sometimes what enemy we're really fighting. We know it's out there, but we can't even see the full capacity of the enemy that we're up against. So we have to recognize our limitations. We need to recognize our fears, our weaknesses, and depend on him because the battle is his. He'll do the fighting if we let him. He'll fight for us, but we have to let him. I believe that too. If we don't allow him, he can't fight for us. He can tell us the battle is not yours, it's mine. But we have to step back and we have to stand and just and let him fight. We have to sometimes take our hands off the situation and quit trying to figure it out on our own and just trust him. We have to just trust, and that is so hard. We have trouble trusting people we can see sometimes. And he's a God we can't even see, but we have to depend upon him and believe him and trust him to fight the battle. Because if we don't, then if we can't get out of his way, then he's going to have a hard time doing what he needs to do. If we can't get over ourselves and move out of the way. So often we stand in his way because we just can't get over ourselves and our own ability and our own knowledge, our own thoughts, our own seeking whatever. We can't get out of our own selves' way and let God do his stuff, his things. We think we know better. We think we have, you know, we're smart. We've sought this counsel, so we know. But we don't. We got to get out of his way and let him do his work. And we have to realize his presence there, even when we can't feel it, even when we don't see it, even when he feels 100 miles away, we still have to recognize his presence because he's there. He hasn't left. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Jehoshaphat told them to believe in the Lord your God. Just believe. Just believe. Believe what he told you through the prophet. Believe what he said. Believe what he's telling you through his word. Believe what he spoke through the man of God. Believe his promises. So they believed and they rose early in the morning. Why? Because God assured them of success. Why can you get out of bed in the morning when it's hard sometimes? Because God has assured you of success. Why can you put on your happy face and put on your clothes and go out and face the world? Because God's promised you success. Why can you, you know, wipe the scowl off your face and the poor me attitude? Why can you put all that off? Because God's promised you success. They went to battle confident. They went to battle believing and confident that God was there and that he was going to fight for them. They believed what he said. We can't act if we don't believe. If they didn't believe that he was going to fight the battle, they wouldn't have went out. They wouldn't have rose early in the morning to go face their enemy. They would have hem-hawed around. They would have wondered, should they just stay and wait here for them, or should we go out? Should we send a few and save some of them here to defend? They wouldn't have just got up and said, let's go. But they believed what he said, so they got up and said, hey, let's go, because we're going to win the battle because it's not ours, it's God's. They didn't know how they're going to win the battle. Okay, so remember, they had three enemy armies against their one. And so they knew God said they would, but they still didn't know how. They went out not knowing how. We have to face our battle. We have to face our enemy not knowing how it's going to come out, not knowing how God's going to ever figure this out, not knowing how he's ever going to put money in our bank to cover our bills, not knowing how he's going to train our children, not knowing how he's going to situate our family problems. We have to just face it not knowing how in the world he can straighten out this mess. I mean, sometimes we have messes that we say, I don't know how in the world this can get straightened out. And that's probably how they felt. How in the world can he fight all this with us? How in the world can this get straightened out? But they said, he said it's not our battle, it's his, so let's go. We don't know how he's going to do it yet, but he said he would, so let's go. Let's go. So we can be like them. We can have courage to fight. We don't have to be timid at the sight of our enemy. We don't have to be timid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to cower at your enemy anymore, because the battle's not yours, it's God's. You don't have to hide. You don't have to shield yourself. You don't have to do any of those things, because it's not your battle, it's his. And in the battle, we have to be firm in our belief in the power of the Lord. We have to be firm in our belief in his mercy, in his promises. You can't waver. You can't be wishy-washy. You have to believe it. You have to be firm in it. You can't be, today I believe him and tomorrow I'm not sure anymore. We got to go out and just keep going. Don't take a step forward and then three back because you're not sure. I mean, we go back to the beginning and they acknowledge that he was the God of the universe. So we can't say, I believe you today and tomorrow I don't. We have to just keep going. Keep going. Do you think that Judah would have been successful if they would have faced those three armies for a little while and then retreated? If they turned their back, they had no defense, right? And they probably wouldn't have just backed up like this. They'd have turned and ran, and they would have had no defeat, no defense. So they kept facing the battle, even though they didn't know how it was going to be fought. So, verse 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they had began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So the army was led out with Levitical minstrels marching before the army. So, here's Judah, and they're facing three enemy armies, and they didn't lead out with their mighty men. They didn't lead out with their strongest army guys, I don't know what else to call them. They didn't lead out with their biggest weapons. They led out with praise. They led out with victory songs. They didn't lead out with their strong army. They led with the strongest of their army. They led out with the singers, with the praisers. They led out with a song of praise. They were giving honor and glory to God. They were singing and praising the beauty of his holiness. And it's actually, you can find this in more than one psalm, But this refers back to Psalms 106:1, and it says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." What if we could sing that when we were faced with our enemy? What if we could sing that when we're in the battle? Praise the Lord. The enemy comes and you say, "Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. My battle's not good. The situation's not good, but he is. For his mercy endures forever." The mercy he's shown to this army, to the people of Judah, that's the same mercy he shows to us. It endures forever. It's the same. It's not any different. The army went out not to battle, not sounding like an army heading out to war. They sounded like an army returning in joyful triumph. They went to their battle sounding like they had already won the war. They went praising the Lord because the battle was not theirs, it was his. They didn't go out in defeat. They didn't go out in fear. They went out in victory. They hadn't won victory. They didn't have victory yet. But they had been told they would. And so they just began to praise the Lord for the victory that had not even been had yet. What if we went to battle like that? What if we began to go out in battle singing instead of feeling sorry for ourselves? What if we got up in the morning and faced our battle with a song in our heart instead of an, "Oh me, oh my, how am I going to face my day" attitude? What if we got up and said, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, it's his battle and not mine. Praise the Lord, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know it's going to turn out good. I don't know how he's going to do it because I can't make sense of my situation. It looks impossible to me, but he says, I'm going to do it for you. I've got this. I've got your back. Just fight the battle. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it because I am your victory. I am your victory. I'm your victory." He says, "I'm your victory." We can't do it on our own, but he's our victory. We keep our eyes down. We keep our lips full of defeat. We keep doubt in our heart. But we have to lift our eyes to the hills. From where does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord. Why do you think he said, "Where does our help?" Look, I lift my eyes to the hills. Because they're higher than we are. So we automatically turn our eyes towards heaven, don't we? We look to the hills. Where are the hills? They're not below me. They're above me. And so is the Lord. We should go out to our battle singing a victory song, not a lament of defeat. Quit singing a lament of defeat. Quit singing your defeat because we are settling we're settling it for ourselves when we sing a song of defeat. We're already setting what's going to happen for us when all we have is defeat in our mouth. We're securing it for ourselves when that's all we speak is defeat. You can be guaranteed of it. So why not? If we can speak defeat, can't we speak victory just as easy? We got to train ourselves maybe. Because we're trained to speak defeat. We're trained to be head down and in the molly grubs. That's easy, but we have to train ourselves. And this is an army. They were trained. We're an army. We have to train ourselves. It might not be easy the first day to get up and sing the praises of the Lord. It might not be easy the second day or the third day. But rest assured, you keep doing it. Before long, you're going to get up and it's going to be a natural response. It's going to be a natural thing to come from your mouth. Instead of feet, it's naturally going to come forth. Praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. It's going to become natural from us, a natural flow, because we have trained ourselves to fight that way. We've trained ourselves to fight, but not God's way. So we have to train ourselves to fight the battle the way he says to fight it. We have to train ourselves to fight it God's way. Then we're going to find success. Then we're going to find victory. And why not do that? Because the battle's not ours. It's his anyway, right? So we may as well just go ahead and praise him. Verse 26. "And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that valley was called the Valley of Baraka until this day." Or as I said earlier, it's the Valley of Blessing. "They went into the battle singing praises, and they ended the battle blessing the Lord. It was bookend, right? Blessing, praising, blessing, and praising. They blessed the Lord because of their victory. And we didn't even talk about that, but the Lord sent ambushes against their enemy, and they're not even sure. I read different commentaries. Some commentaries said it may have been angels, or it may have been some other like people that lived in those areas that just came against them for whatever reason. And then after all that, the two armies turned against each other and killed each other. And so they blessed the Lord in the end. They gave glory to him, and they acknowledged his power on their behalf. And I know it was called the Valley of Blessing because they blessed the Lord. But I also just have to imagine, or I can imagine, calling a battle that I've been in a Valley of Blessing. We don't often call it that, a Valley of Blessing, but that's what it is. Not only to bless the Lord, but sometimes those battles can be a battle of a Valley of Blessing for us. Because God can do mighty things through that. And so let the end be considered a Valley of Blessing. Don't forget who fought your battle. Don't forget who won the battle. Don't forget who was leading your battle, but turn back and praise him. I thought about the lepers, and there were 10 of them that he healed, but only one turned back. Only one came back to thank him. Be the one. Be the one that comes back and says, it's because of the Lord that this battle is won. It's because of him and him alone. And that goes back to, that's where we have to be involving our children. And when you come through the valley and when you come through the battle, like I said, you don't have to tell them all the details, but be sure and tell them that we fought. It's been hard, but this is how we won. And this is who we bless now, because it was because of the Lord. So remember to bless the Lord with the same fervency as you cried out for help. You know, we are fervent in our pursuit of him, and we need him. But then it's like, yeah, I bless the Lord. He did it. Thank you, Jesus. But when we were in the battle, when we were facing it, we were serious. We were after it. You know, we were intense. So we should be that intense in our Thanksgiving when it's over. We should be that loud and that boisterous and that fervent in our Thanksgiving as we were in our pursuit of him for his help. Are our praises as loud as our cries? Are our praises as loud as your prayers? They should be. They really should be louder. They should be louder. So, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. And, Mom, if you'll come, I'm going to...